for joining today's show.
Today, we are really honored to have the real Edward Brown with us.
Or the Edward from Girl
exactly,
Cycle.
Exactly.
As many of you know.
Yay! Yeah, so Edward is my trainer in Girl Cycle. I have to confess that the first time I went to Edward's class, I felt like I was in hell because it was just so difficult. But at the same time, I feel so accomplished because I finished the whole thing. I conquered the world. That's what Edward told us.
That's right.
Yeah, the music, the beat, the passion in the class was unbelievable. I just feel like I was totally another person. A little bit more about Edward is that back in the day, Edward was in the U.S. and being a trainer for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is Edward is Michelle Obama's trainer.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Yeah, that's some experience that we got to talk about in this interview.
Right.
For sure.
So welcome, Edward, to join our podcast today. So maybe if you would like to introduce yourself a little bit to our audience.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for one, just for the invite. I really appreciate you guys. But yeah, my name is Edward. I've been in China 1 year. I arrived in Beijing last year around this time. And so I've been in China for a year. I've been working with Girl Cycle. That was my main purpose to come. I came on board as the instructor manager, but also I did recruitment and development for Girl Cycle. So I helped recruit some of our international instructors here, also local, and also worked with like development of culture and also training of our instructors. And so it's been such a beautiful opportunity being in China, learning the culture, learning the different dynamics, learning the language. I wish I would have taken full advantage of it, but I definitely can. I know my numbers, you know, I can count.
We heard that in the class.
Right. So that's good for any trainer, you know, so they can count down or count their clients in or out of the movements. But yeah, so, you know, I have only positives about my experience and opportunity here in China. Yeah, so that's me.
Come on, Girl Cycle, this is where you make it count. This is where you make it count. 4, 3, hands out to 3. Let's go, come on. Let's go. Yes. Beautiful. 4, 3, 2, and 1. Take it down, take it down, take it down, take it down.
Maybe we can start from the beginning. So how did you get into cycling, become an instructor?
I've had my very personal fitness journey. You know, throughout college and throughout high school, I've gained a significant amount of weight. And it was in my sophomore year of college in 2007, the summer of 2007, when I really committed to fitness and this whole aspect of health and lifestyle. I lost a total of 59 kilos.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I lost another person. I wish I could show you guys the picture.
You should.
Yeah, I have
cannot
pictures.
Believe that.
59 kills.
Yeah,
so
but
how...
that's the weight.
I know that she has her size,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Well, and it's more than my size. I'm like 45 kilos.
Yeah, I lost literally another person. So
one and a half of me.
So, you know, my journey has been very personal, you know.
Okay.
And I truly believe in transformation, and I believe that we are constantly transforming. Even for me now, and I'm still transforming, and we all get to that place. So that started my initial kick in fitness. And then
I
started with a mile. I ran a mile each day. It was running. And then from there, I remember taking a local cycling class at a gym nearby, and I fell in love with it. And I was so new to cycling because I would cycle with my sneakers on, and one day the instructor comes up to me and goes, "You need to buy some shoes." And
what's wrong with sneakers?
You know, so for, and that's what I said, was, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I said. But she explained to me, you know, riding with sneakers on the bike, on the cycling bike, it really doesn't give you full advantage of really targeting the muscle groups. When you're when you're using cycling shoes and you're clipped in, which at Girl Cycle we have, you're getting a full motion of the pedal stroke. So not only are you pushing, but you're pulling too. So when you're using sneakers, you're just pushing.
Right.
You can't pull, you know. when your foot is locked in with the clip, you're pushing the pedal and you're pulling it. So not only are you just getting the downstroke, but you're getting the upstroke. So every muscle group in your legs and in your glutes are really getting the actual workout. And that's what sold me. When she told me that, when I realized I was just pushing the pedal, rather than pushing it and then pulling up, pushing and pulling up. I just went to go buy them. And so that started my journey. I was in North Carolina at the time, Charlotte. I moved to Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles is just this really strong cycling community. Mm-hmm. So I fell into this community and they were riding to a style I never was used to. You know, the class in North Carolina was good music, but it was your standard cycling class, like a gym here in China.
Right. Yeah.
And I've talked with you before about this whole idea of boutique cycling.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what was I experienced in LA. It was just a standalone building just for cycling, which was a boutique style, and it was called SoCycle, who I ended up being hired by. Mm-hmm. And I had my first class there, and it was such an amazing experience. I can remember it so vividly because my first class, I took a friend of mine, David's class, and he is a yogi spiritual type of person. And the first class, I just remember crying and tears falling down my eyes. And not only was it an amazing workout.
Was it too hard?
It was a hard workout. But not only on top of the whole aspect of just health and fitness, but then also really helping someone with like an internal growth. Mm-mm. I just thought that was a beautiful combination. And so I remember leaving that class and I'm like, wow. And for the past 6 months, after that ride, I couldn't stop riding with him. 6 months, I rode with him almost 3 times a week.
Wow.
And that's what kind of started my journey. And yeah, I was working in my background, human resources, recruitment. So I was doing recruitment for a nonprofit, leading all of our non-instructional recruitment. And I remember when SoCycle gave me an offer to audition. When I got the offer, I quit my job and moved to New York because I felt like this is what my heart was pulling for. I think we need to really find the things in life that we love. In this experience of cycling and the whole aspect of like you're changing someone's life, not only physically, but spiritually and mentally and psychologically, I felt more called to do that and my heart pulled on it. So I literally quit my job and moved to New York to become an instructor. And so that
from a human resources industry to become a fitness instructor for cycling.
I never would have dreamed it. I never would have dreamed it. This has been my job for the past 3 years and it's been work, but it hasn't been a job. I was just telling someone last night that I feel like I haven't had a job, but I've been being paid and I've had experiences to teach Michelle Obama from New York. I moved to DC. And so it's just been such a wonderful opportunity to really not only uplift others in their fitness journey and you know, and have them kind of come through some obstacles personally, but also for myself.
I can feel that because I love the other instructors too. I think key thing like keep attracting me to your class is that I can feel the passion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only about technical, like how to ride a bike, how fast, or how hard you can ride bike. But also, you know, in your class, your passion really gets us and also make us really passionate about doing this.
Yeah.
And also you keep saying that, you know, what you do here represents what you do outside of this
room.
Yes. You know, you have to conquer yourself, you know, you have to
challenge yourself.
Yeah, challenge yourself because your biggest rival is yourself.
Yeah.
I think that part I really enjoy.
And that's what gave me the inspiration to be able to leave a very comfortable life, making a very good salary, living wonderfully in sunny California, to be able to take a step and move, not knowing all of the next steps coming afterwards, but with faith knowing that this is something that I would feel good about doing. So that was my goal. When I moved, I knew I wanted to be able to teach a class that inspired riders bigger and more broader than what they were currently doing in their lives, because that's what inspired me.
I'm more concerned with your spirit here. You spend some time with yourself, you search your soul. Come on, you gotta walk out of this room a little.
So tell us about Michelle Obama and how did it how did it come about that you become a trainer for her?
Yeah, so you know, I was employed with SoulCycle and I moved to New York and I was there for 3 months training and then not sure where I was going to land after that. And so it comes, and around September, they're saying, hey, we want you to move to D.C. We're opening a couple new studios, and we want you to move there. But the rumor that summer has been going around that the instructors in D.C., several of them were teaching Michelle Obama, and I just knew. And for anyone hearing this, I really want to put this message in, is because, you know, what you want from this life, you have to speak it into your life. Mm-hmm. And so I knew of instructors teaching her, but I said to myself, I said, if I go to D.C., I'm going to teach her. I said that to myself. And so I relocate to D.C. in September, and I get there, and I'm getting into the motion, and I'm a new instructor. There were about three in rotation that would teach her, and they were teach her. She rode 3 times a week. I mean, a really great rider, all about fitness and health, amazing person, right, inside and out. So she wrote very frequent. I knew of instructors teaching her, 3 instructors. And I just knew I would get the opportunity. So one time I'm on the train, I think it was close to December. Mm-hmm. I'm on the train heading up from actually D.C. to New York. I get a call from headquarters and they go, Michelle Obama's office reached out to us. She wants you to teach her. I'm like,
what?
I'm like, no way, this is amazing.
And right, sorry for our audience that we can't see Edward's exactly. face.
I
just
know.
He was just reacting his excitement in the studio and almost like jump out of chair. And you should see his face, is amazing.
Because, you know, it's back to that sidebar I just gave, is when you see something come to fruition that you've 3 months ago said to yourself that you wanted to see happen, it's like, right, oh my gosh. And that's why you really have to speak into your life what you want from your life. And so I just, in that flash, it's like I caught it. I knew it was coming. Mm. And that when I got the phone call, I was so elated, you guys. I was on that train and I was, oh my gosh, almost in tears, so happy to call my mom next. And they're like the message from headquarters was like, don't tell no one, but you can tell your mom.
They know you so well.
So it was amazing. And I wanted to know the backstory and how it came about.
Right.
And in Washington, D.C., you know, you're right in, we're planted right where everything is going down. Politics, the White House is right up the street. So it came about that a few of her staffers, the first ladies in her first lady's office, a few of her staffers took my public class and they really enjoyed it. And she wouldn't have known about me.
Yeah. Exactly, and because you were new to that, right?
I was new and they gave the feedback like, oh my gosh, have you taken Durrell's class? And
well, you were still Durrell.
I was Durrell at the time.
Yeah. Washington. Yeah.
And she, that's when she requested. And so I was so excited that, you know, that's how things just come about. But I was really excited to hear the backstory of how she chose. And yeah, I've taught her that from that time. I taught her about 6 or 7 times after that. Mm-hmm. It was amazing experience. I mean, beautiful person inside, wonderful writer. She really enjoys all the type of good music, but she really loved when I played hip hop. Like, you know, you can see it. She was sometimes requested, like, yes, yeah. So, you know, it was really a good time. And depending on the day, she also had others that would come ride with her, you know. So it was always good to meet other people, other guests she would bring. And always
she
would
bring all the, like, politicians or celebrities?
Celebrities, or, you know, it just depends. It just depends on the day. But it was such a beautiful opportunity that I would never, ever forget.
Did she come to the studio or were you going to?
It was a private session. She would come during when there was no scheduled class on the schedule. Yeah.
Wow. Is there security outside the door to clear?
There would be security outside the door. There would be 2 Secret Service who would ride, and they would ride consistently. So I saw the growth over the course of, you know, the Secret Service who would ride in the back row. He just becomes so good because he rode maybe two or three times a week, you know, because she was very active. She was such very active, very fit enthusiast, you know, fitness
great.
Enthusiast.
How lucky, like being a Secret Service guy, then you get free training classes.
Exactly. I know. I thought that was wonderful, too. Yeah, you know.
Do you remember the first time when you teach her? Were you nervous?
Oh,
I was so
nervous. And, you know, the first time I taught her, I didn't know what music to play, and you know, because you just don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what kind of
person. Yeah, you don't know the type of person. It's so personal, and then it's no more than six people in the room.
It's very different.
With 65 bikes in a room.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so it's huge, you know, and so it was at first it was very, but I had to really stay true to myself, and I you know, I was really me. And I really was motivating as I always am. And I really just was, I just taught my class. But I had so much advice from the people that taught her in the past and are just like, hey, be yourself, you know, teach your class and have a good time. But I was so nervous. Yeah. I was nervous.
And
it was so nervous because even when I got, you know, I had to be motivating at times, you know, and I got it. In front of her, I'm just like, come on, you can do this. And it was so funny. It was like, I'm encouraging the first lady.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it was such a good opportunity.
So I feel so honored now because I've been to your class for a couple of times and I remember you came to, like, you know, standing in front of me and encouraging me so that now I know that Michelle Obama was also encouraging
the same,
me.
You got the same
treatment.
You got the same treatment.
Yeah.
You're
that
a first
lady.
The lady.
I know, exactly. I'm so special now.
Did you talk to her? What did you guys talk about?
Yeah, so I would come in and before the ride, she would always be in the office, especially if there was a class in there prior. Secret Service would bring her in and she would just be in the office. So I would talk to her, always normally checking in with her. I always just, of course, would say, how are you doing? And sometimes she would speak about family, like, doing great. She loved her daughters and still does. And she would always, you know, say, busy with them or, you know, things like that. So she was so down the earth, always very easy to speak with.
Wow.
And we would talk about just random things about, you know, different music we like or things traveling she's doing. One time she just got off a vacation. I was like, you haven't rode in almost a month. And she was like, I know, vacation was great, but I, you know, I've ate so much. So, you know, it was just very down the earth, casual conversation. I never felt nervous.
Right.
And never felt, you know, that she didn't want to have a conversation. Everyone loved her. Everyone, all the staff loved her. Yeah, so it was such a good experience just being able to coach her and enjoy conversation with her and meet her and, you know, build relationship. And we got invited, not only myself, but all the other instructors who taught her and also staff, got invited to, because we trained her, and this was such a good benefit, we got invited to the White House Christmas party.
Oh!
Yes, and so, and White House, they do every year, they not only have Christmas party, but they have in the spring, they have an Easter egg roll for the kids, and they have DJ, and they have a party.
Oh, that's so
cool. And then we all, no, actually three events, but one event I didn't make it to, they also do a 4th of July party.
Right.
So it was just such an honor, you know, realizing that she really loved the fact that
she
we
really
were training.
Cares,
yeah, she really yeah. cares right. that she would invite us to her house, which was the White House. So such a good time. Such a good opportunity,
That's so great. That's such a privileged experience. Then you were in D.C. for how long?
I was in D.C. for a year. I was feeling it already in my spirit that I wanted to move, and I didn't know where. And then the China opportunity came.
Right, so that's when the China opportunity
came around.
Right.
So, yep.
How did they find you?
So they found me via social media, LinkedIn, you know. So for those who...
as he speaks, I'm linked Edward in now.
Yes, please link me in. Get linked. I got a message and I was like, wow, this is somewhat suspect, you know, China, interesting. But I emailed back and I was somewhat curious. And I got a message back and from a gentleman and he goes, yeah, first things first, download Weixin. I'm like, what is this?
What's Weixin?
Yeah, he was like, he said find it in you know, the Apple iStore, right. Download the APP. And so I get it, and we had a video chat, and I'm like, wow, okay, now face-to-face, I understand. Right. This is, you know. And
it's not a scam.
Yes, yeah, not a scam. This is real. And literally, it just went along from there. We engaged probably in July 2016. In August, I met one of the co-founders. Her parents lives in D.C. Mm. And so she said, I'll be in town. I'll come take your class. Let's connect. I'm like, wow, this is perfect. And so early August, I met one of the co-founders. And end of August, I came to China to travel on a 10-day interview process. And so, yeah, it really, the ball rolled well. And it really was such a purposeful opportunity. That's why I value China so much, and being able to be here in the culture and learn the culture, is because I felt like this is where I was supposed to be at the time, you know, everything played out.
Was it because that you're interested in China before, or it was just because that how the, you know, Wengu cycle found you?
It was not.
They pitch you really well.
I was not looking at China.
No, right.
I was not looking at China. I wasn't even looking to go international at the time. I just was feeling a move of doing something different and going higher. And I'm such a spiritual person, and I believe we all have destiny and purpose. And I feel that as you go through this life, there's levels of purpose. And I just knew I was going to new heights in my purpose, and I knew something new was coming. And then I get this email, and I was like, wow. And then I engage the email, and then I come to China in August, and I'm just like, wow, this is a beautiful place. And this is a beautiful opportunity. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't turn it down. And so I got back in September, and I land in Chicago coming from Beijing, and there's an offer. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I'm accepting it. I put my 2-week notice in, and I moved to China early October of 2016. Jeez. Yeah, so it's been a journey. It's been such a journey, but such a beautiful journey.
Right.
Yeah, I think your great attitude towards life really led you a great way over the last three years.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 3 years ago when you're sitting in that office recruiting people, you know, someday you end up being the trainer for Michelle Obama, and then another day you're being in China. That's amazing.
It's so amazing, and it's nothing we all can predict.
Right.
But that's why you have to follow your heart,
right,
and you have to follow that gut feeling, your spirit, those things that we feel naturally, but we second guess,
right,
you know, so you'll feel those things naturally. And then you're like, no, I can't, because if I do that, you know, I'm scared or fear, you know, so you really have to do, you have to lose the doubt, and you have to do. And that's what I did. I could have doubted back in early 2015, like, should I move to New York? But instead of doubting, I just did it. Mm. I sold my Jeep, I sold everything, and I just went for it. And literally, I couldn't even dreamed about this, because I would have never known about coming to China. But the way life really gives us opportunities, every step, you really have to really trust yourself, trust your gut, and follow through. And that's along the way, that's all I've done. I've really been trying to live my life in that course for such a young age. I've always felt that. And, you know, there was times when I didn't know exactly what that feeling was, but I still trusted it. And it never stirred me to the wrong direction. So I really believe in it now. Now, when I'm 31 years old, I really can say that trust and that voice, that inner voice and that inner feeling, that inner spirit of gut, you have to follow it. And now people are saying to me, because next week I am embarking on a new journey. I'm going to Cape Town, South Africa. And so many people are like, how can you just go? But I feel it. I feel that spirit that I've always known and trusted pulling me there. And so I have to commit and follow it. So, yeah, I really want to challenge the listeners to really trust that gut feeling. And if you ever are feeling something indifferent with it, write it down or speak to friends about it or mentors. or speak to someone that you really trust and value and who really knows you, because then they can help you really talk those things out. But I think it's important that we really follow what that feeling is.
Right. Are you going to Cape Town to do the similar things and now, or are you doing something different?
Something different. You know, well, it's not totally different. You know, my classes, my cycling classes for the past 3 years have been really spirit lifting. And so I'm really going into the calling now and to go into ministry and spirituality and do an opportunity to do missions work. I think this is a really sensitive opportunity for me because it's putting me into a place where I can only serve others. And that's what I'm excited to do. So I'll be going to Cape Town, working for a ministry there, serving in every capacity.
Wow.
Not being paid, but just giving of myself. And I'm just so happy to do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's well, quite a big change, but then at the same time, as you said, very similar to what you have always been doing.
Exactly.
Which is giving your spirit and giving your love and care.
Exactly. And I've been doing it on the bike. I've been doing it in class with the music, but most importantly with the words that I say through the mic. And one day I was in the studio and I got revelation and I was like, wow, I'm right where I should be. I'm doing what I should be doing. But now I feel like I'll be doing what I was doing just without the bike.
Right.
I'll have the mic and I'll have the people, but just not the bike. And I think that's what's most important, really being able to help change someone's course of their life by inspiring, help those that are broken become or less broken.
So before you came to China, so what did you expect in your class?
You know, I didn't give it much thought. Coming to China in August, because like I said, once I got the email from Goose Cycle, it went so fast.
Right, yeah.
And I still was working, so I really didn't have much time to really put into thinking about how the experience was. But when I got here in August, I hit the ground running. I taught.
Mm.
And so I taught, and I'm like, wow. This is interesting. You know, one, the first thing first, the language.
Oh, right.
And in the States, we have a lot of word fillers.
Mm.
So we use a lot of word. We talk a lot. And, you know, and coming to an environment and coming to a place, a country that really English is not spoken as much as the States or at all, I really had to limit the words that I use. So my coaching was more of my body representations and movements, and it was very challenging. Because when I was here for 10 days and I taught, I taught every day when I was here.
Mm.
When I went back to the States, I immediately got on the schedule. I felt so much more improved as an instructor teaching, coming to China teaching for those 10 days, because my instruction had to be very clear here.
Mm. Oh,
and so what I was able to do here, I took back to the States immediately. I landed in September after being here for 10 days, and I used what I had to use here, and I used it in the States, and I was like, wow, I've improved. But I've improved because I had to really change up my instruction and my coaching to a different learner. Because I got so comfortable in the States, just, you know, everyone knowing English and just... But I really was challenged here when I first came because the language barrier was so hard. Also, I didn't know of the strength level.
Right.
And I remember first coming when I was here for those 10 days. One of the IEs overheard the lady saying that she didn't use any resistance on the bike. Resistance pretty much is weight.
Right.
Add it to the wheel, add it to the bike pedal, add it to the wheel of the bike for riders who are cycling. So one of the Chinese riders said in the bathroom, but IE overheard and told a staff member that the lady...
It's a very responsible IE.
Oh, she's on top of it.
Oh, wow.
So she overheard the young lady speaking about my class and saying how they loved it, but they didn't use no resistance. They never turned it because their fear of their legs getting big.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They said they don't want big legs. and so that was a misconception. And I was like, wow, so coming back, I'm going to have to try to figure out how to diffuse misconceptions with cycling. Mm. Because in the States, riders love resistance because it's more strength and it's more definition of muscles rather than fat legs. You know, it's more defined muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was a little like, oh, man, darn, I need to teach that better, or I need to figure out ways to really help riders understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you feel the strength level of the students are you teaching in China compared to the U.S.?
I don't know how fitness has transpired here, but through my experience and opinion, I just felt like a lot of the Chinese riders didn't use their leg muscles as often as, or in type of a workout form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of the riders in the States, even if it was a challenging class, their legs muscles were strong enough to endure the 45-minute course.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got to China, a lot of the Chinese riders literally couldn't hold their body up because they never really used their leg muscles in that type of strenuous way.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But absolutely. I mean, like, the reason I asked this question is because, like, that's probably why we wanted to do this podcast from the beginning, is that the whole trend of getting fitness and, like, wellness in China in the last few years, I think.
Actually, a couple of years.
Like, only
suddenly,
a couple of years.
Yeah,
ago.
Fitness is huge.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then everyone is so big on, you know, getting trained, you know, getting toned up, you know, getting in shape. But I think fundamentally, or the fitness level in China, at least like among my peers, were not that good.
Yeah, because I feel like doing exercises is not a concept that we were trained when we were a kid.
Exactly.
For example, like when I was a kid, my parents didn't encourage me to do any sports. My only responsibility or task is to study. Right. If I'm studying, that means I'm being a good student, a good kid.
Exactly.
But in the U.S., I feel like, you know, doing sports
is so big, right?
Yeah, it's a part of you, right?
Yeah, it's a part of you. It's a part of you growing up from adolescence to all the way through high school. It's a part of you. It's not only ways of you being active, but it's also ways of you learning other skills in a sense of interacting with other type of kids or interacting with other type of groups. So it's such a big part. And I really enjoyed that in my childhood and being active in sports. And my mother put me in all types. Every sport we were playing, my brother and I, we were in it. Soccer, basketball, baseball, tennis. Wow. Everything you can name, she put us in it until I said, I don't like football, you know. And then she was like, oh, okay, you know. So yeah, I really was comparing the two. But in the sense of the work ethic, one thing I did realize is from my riders in the States, some riders weren't committed to excellence in the sense of really coming into the room and learning the workout and really committing to the workout. I felt like the Chinese people's work ethic and learning the workout and dedication to not only perfect it is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look to you as their teacher, and they look to you and they want to be taught correctly. So I had so many riders, first time riders and experienced riders, come up after class and say, am I doing this right? Or can I stay behind so you can show me my form? Or what's the best way to do this? And they just so many questions and so many wanting to get betters.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that much. You know, I would see riders come in and they would go out in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But here I would have riders come in and ask questions and give feedback and want to get better and really want to know how to do it correctly. And I love that aspect in a sense of work ethic. And I can see that over time through my year here, when I got here, riders didn't know how to ride. Riders know how to ride that bike now, you know.
Mm.
So it's the same thing. This type of riding has been going on for years, maybe two decades.
Mm.
This type of style of riding, and for it to come to China and riders really take hold of it, embrace it, and and nail it, it's like, wow,
And I think that's really, really important for writers or people who do fitness or are going to the gym know how to do it. Because I think we've seen this trend of get like the fitness or going to the gym exercise trend starting from a couple of years ago. And then at the beginning, they're like, every corner of the street has a gym.
Yeah.
And then everyone's going there, but then we don't really know why we go in there and what we do
only
there.
When they're running.
Exactly. So, and then, you know, like when you look at all the like equipment or the weights and you're like, oh my God, like what on earth am I going to do with those? Right. So we don't know what to do. And then like we go into another phase of, you know, some really professional trainers and then, you know, like places like Go Cycle started to get it started up, and then they teach you how to work out. They teach you to know your body. You know, I learn about like I actually have different muscles and they have all different functions, and then you do different things to mobilize them, to exercise them. And then all of that, I didn't know that. I was like feeling so ignorant about my own body.
I also noticed that there are more and more international trainers coming to China. I don't know whether that's your observation, but at least, you know, I feel like in Go Cycle there are a lot of like, you know, expat trainers, you know, has ton of international experience, really know how to do that. And especially for very trendy activities like cycling or spinning.
Yeah.
That's something in my mind never existed in Beijing 2 years ago or even 1 year ago, right? I don't know whether Go Cycle is the first one. Is there?
Yeah, Go Cycle was the first.
Go Cycle was
the first indoor cycling standalone.
So that's something really, really new. But I also feel it's very interesting that, you know, suddenly people just embraced it.
Yeah.
Within such a shorter period of time, like everyone started to sign up on some kind of a, used to be called exotic, you know, boutique classes, right?
Yeah.
Nobody had this idea. It's just suddenly it's booming.
And I have
it's
all
everywhere.
The training masters came in. You have CrossFit, you have spinning,
you have so many different. I love Beijing's fitness, you know, market now, because it's your workouts vary. You know, if you want to get stronger and lift heavy weights, you can do CrossFit and things like that. BaseFit is such a blend. You can have HIIT,
right.
It's like HIIT training, high intensity, but it also has aspects of you know, getting stronger in the sense of your core. Then you have Go Cycle, which is solely cycling and cardio. So I love there's different
combinations
and they all go hand in hand. It's just, I think China has a beautiful place, because if this is happening now, just look at 2 to 3, 5 years from now and what it's going to look like. And I'm so excited for the brands that are here now and those to come.
You mentioned a little bit about the differences of your classes in Beijing and Shanghai.
Yes.
How so?
You know, two different cities.
Yeah.
I'm a Beijinger.
I love that. We are too.
I'm a Beijinger, and I'm just making that public. I love Beijing. Even when I go to Shanghai, they go.
Of course,
that's
why I asked the question.
So who do you love more? And I'm like, Beijing's my home. And they're like, really?
Yeah.
But no, they're of course. So I feel the people are different. You know, just like in any city, I realize just the type of person that comes to Beijing is such a loyal rider and a loyal ridership. So you get to know the people and you get to see them often, and they come back quite a bit. Shanghai is such a more trendy city, I feel, and the people are much more trendier. And so you see different people, you see different type of personalities. You see some people 1 week, you don't see them the next week. But I feel like the riders in Beijing were much more loyal, and I would see them and I built relationship with them, and I would see them month 1, month 4, month 6. And Shanghai is just a little bit more, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get, but I feel like our growth there has been much more faster than Beijing.
I
think it's just because Beijing has that type of style and flow where they got to get to know it. They get to know it, they can really settle into it. And I just feel like Shanghai is like, whatever's new, they're jumping on it.
Which group is more competitive, Beijing or Shanghai?
Shanghai.
Like, you mean strength level or, you know, everything?
I feel Beijing riders come and they know what they're coming for and they know what they want to get out of the room, mm-hmm. and they come and they experience that. I feel Shanghai riders and just community of fitness, mm-hmm. they're much more competitive. They're seeing who is who. They're seeing who has what on and who's wearing what.
Oh, really?
And wow, you're wearing Lorna Jane.
Wearing your Shanghai.
Yeah, so it's very, you know, and I don't think that's nothing wrong with that. I just think that's the
right.
The dynamic,
that's the characteristic.
The dynamic and characteristics of the city. That's been my experience, you know.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's been.
That's more interesting.
It was such an interesting, but I felt like the Shanghai riders were more competitive with their ride. They commit to riding the front row.
Really?
Yeah, they commit to being front and center. And Beijing riders.
So they wanted all the attention on them, or they wanted to challenge themselves.
Not only do they want to challenge themselves to be in the front, but they want that attention
they want
too
attention.
And they want
look
the instructor's attention look at me, call me out. And Beijing riders, they just come in and they if it's the front row or the second row, they're just committed to themselves and doing it very low key, but they get it done. And so very different across the both cities, but such beautiful dynamics. I had an opportunity to be in Shanghai for 4 of the months that I lived in China, and I really loved those 4 months. I loved living there, but I always thought it was a vacation
because your home is Beijing.
Home is Beijing.
And you know, and after your students were missing you because we get Juna and then Ray were saying that, what are you doing tonight, or we should go cycling, and then Ray would no, I'm not going, Edward's not here.
You were so worried that you'll move to Shanghai.
No, I thought I told you guys, don't ever worry. It's all business, you know. I was just going to help our team there and help develop. But Beijing, like I said, any good vacation, you go you know the time limit to it.
Right.
You always miss
home.
Exactly. You always miss home. After you're at a certain vacation, you're like, okay, I'm ready to go back home. And so Beijing has been that place for a year, and I've loved every bit of it, and I wouldn't give it up for anyone.
That's so glad to hear that.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed.
You know, we hope that Beijing is always going to be your second home.
It is.
Even though that we're knowing you're, you know, embarking on a new life in Cape Town. But I'm sure that we'll miss you.
Yeah, we'll definitely wish you the best of luck
in
your
ladies.
Next adventure.
Thank
I'm
you
sure
so much.
You'll do fabulously.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Woman. If you have any feedback, write to us at Woman Podcast, WOMEN Podcast at Outlook.com.